Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple, Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple, Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Turn with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 10 and ending at verse 10. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10. And while God's Word is going forth, we want to honor His Word because He is the Word. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to talk about being strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord. When we look at that word strong, that means to receive strength, to increase in strength. So the Lord is telling the body of Christ today to be strong in Him, in the Lord. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, when you go back from chapter 1 on up to chapter 6, Paul, first of all, in chapter 1, was letting them know, you know, they have been adopted, they have been accepted in the beloved, they had been redeemed. He was telling them all of these things. He was encouraging them. In chapter 2, he was telling them that where they used to be and basically where they are now and the things that they should not be doing based upon who they are now that they're in Christ. But it led up to chapter 6, and when he said finally, he meant in conclusion. He means henceforth. He means in the future. So Paul was wrapping this up to let them know the things that he taught them. This is the final instructions that they need to take in order to make it through the things that they're going to go through. How many of us know that we go through some trials and we go through some tribulations, we go through some persecutions, we go through several things in our lives, but Paul is showing the Ephesians, not only the Ephesians, but us, how to get through these things. The first thing I want you to notice is the only way you can put on armor is to follow the first part first. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can't even put on armor without having God's power, because that armor is not going to be effective. It's a lot of people around here putting on all this armor, but they're not being effective because they don't have the power of God coming upon them in this armor. So we're going to look at the word being strong in the Lord. You know, Paul talked about in Philippians, the 4th chapter, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So Paul knew that he could do nothing by himself. And I think the problem with the body of Christ is we're putting ourselves in it because we're not recognizing what we already have. This is why he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He's recognizing that if he didn't give me this strength, if he didn't give me this power, if he didn't give me this ability, I would not be able to endure what I go through. We always try to look at us. If I don't do this, this would not get done. And this is why things are really not getting done the way they need to get done in the body of Christ, even on your jobs, in your homes, or wherever you may be, because you're looking at yourself. You have to take self out the way. This is why last week I went over Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And when the Lord was showing me this, even dealing with Paul, he began to take me back to David. When David was coming up against Goliath, and when David was coming up against him, David didn't look like a fighter. David didn't look like somebody that should have been put on the battlefield. They didn't look at David that way. Y'all know when they got ready to anoint a king, Samuel was looking at Eliab, his brother, and he said, surely this is the one that God wants to anoint. God said, don't look at the outer. I want you to look at the heart. So we know that David was anointed to be king. But prior to this, we look at how David, when he showed up on the scene, and how they was running from this uncircumcised Philistine. And David was knowing that, why are you running from this uncircumcised Philistine? He's not in covenant with us. Why are you so afraid of him? And so David began to tell them these things, so they took him to Saul. He began to explain to Saul, the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. What was David doing? He was putting his might, his ability, his strength in God, not in David himself. So when we look at ourselves, we cannot go out there and try to fight a battle without knowing what God has invested on the inside of us, or knowing what we have on the inside of us. And he was reminding me that now that we're in Christ, y'all know the word of God says in Acts 17, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Now that we're born again, we are in him. He's the vine. We're the branches. We get our nourishment from the vine. When we disconnect ourselves from the vine, we don't get the nourishment. We don't get the things that we need. Even though they're there, we don't receive what we already have. And he was showing me like a baby that's in a mother's womb. That baby is getting all that nourishment from that mother. This is why that mother has to make sure she eat right. This is why, you know, she got to make sure the environment that she's around is right, things that she hear, things that would affect that baby. She don't want to put that baby in that place. So when we're in Christ, that means we're in him. We're hidden in Christ. That means that people shouldn't see us. They should see Christ. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. When we say we give ourselves away so he can use us, that's the only way he can use you, is you get rid of self. If you coming in the house of God or places that you go and you acting selfish, it's about me, I want to be exalted, don't look to be used by God. Because your power, your ability, your strength comes from him, not from you. So if you showing off and showing out, that ain't God. God is not about flesh. He's about the spirit. So the first thing we got to know that we're in him. It's not us anymore. It's him. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to your ability. You got to die to your might or the things that you think that you can do and say, Father, it's no longer I. It's all about you. It's all about what you want me to do. And the most awesome thing that I love about the Lord is when God give us a task, I don't care how big that task is. In the natural, we may look at that task and say, this can't be done. But when we look at it in the supernatural, we can say, God, I cannot do this in my own strength. But I know, God, that through you I can do all things. Because in you I move, in you I live, in you I have my being. Just like David and Goliath. Goliath was a big giant. But David knew that God was giving him that might. Do y'all not know David was a Rudy man? That means they looked at David as being handsome and didn't look at him as being a warrior. But when David began to take that stone and that sling and he began to pull it back, don't you know that had to be God's might? It had to be God's power to knock that giant down. And once that giant was knocked down, David had the chance to cut off his head. That wasn't through David. That was through God. Why? Because David knew. I believe David was saying, God, you know I can't do this. But I know through you I can. So God wants us to, first of all, denounce ourselves and say, God, you know I can't, and I know I can't. But the Bible says through you I can do all things. But the problem is we don't want to denounce ourselves because, come on, let's just be real. We want the glory. We want the honor. We want the praise. See, the enemy used that against us because he know if we exalt ourselves, then God is not being exalted. And if God is not being exalted, God is not going to release this power in your life to do what need to be done because it's not about him. It's all about you. So God want his power to be released, but the only way his power can be released is you got to die. meaning that every day your flesh got to be crucified. Every day you got to remind yourself, it's not about me today. It's all about what God wants me to do in this day. And I know I can because the word of God says I can. There's nothing that can come against me today that God ain't already taken care of, that Jesus ain't already defeated. The Bible said that Jesus stripped Satan. He tore his kingdom down. And we're walking today just like he's over us instead of us being over him. Now, if you're in the world, yes, he have that authority. But you are in the world, but you're not of the world, so you don't do what the world does. That means that when the enemy comes at you, you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in your ability. But I like when Paul says, finally, brethren. Let's talk about the brethren. To be a brethren, you know, in the womb you have, in the family you have sisters and brothers. You know, that's my brother, that's my sister. We're from the same mother, we're from the same father. So we're brothers and sisters. But in the body of Christ, we come from the same God. There is no black, there's no white, there's no pink, purple, blue, whatever you want to call it. All of us are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And the same thing that Christ is telling me, he's telling you the same thing. It's the same word. He's not going to give me a different word out of the word. He's going to give you the same thing because he wants us to be united. He don't want us to be divided in the body of Christ. It ain't about denominations. It ain't about, you know, this, that, or the other. It is not about that. It's all about him. And when we know it's all about him, we won't worry about title. We won't worry about denomination. We will just do what the word of God tells us to do because we're honoring him. So when we look at brethren, when you're on a battlefield, this is where Paul is going. He's saying, finally, my brethren. So this is just like a battlefield. You have to know who's on that battlefield with you. You don't want to be on a battlefield with somebody that don't know Christ. You don't want to be on a battlefield with somebody that don't know what the word of God is saying. You don't want to be on a battlefield with somebody having their own ideas or their own strategy trying to get themselves off that battlefield. This is why when David walked in on that battlefield when the battle was in array and he saw them running, he knew you can't beat this giant like this. David went by himself. And the reason why he went by himself, because I believe even with Gideon, y'all know Gideon had a mighty army, but God said, let the fearful go home. And by the time they emptied out, how many did he end up with? He didn't end up with a lot of them, but God said, I can use them because they know that their strength is not in their self, their strength is in me. But God had to send the ones home that did not believe that that battle was already won. Before you go into battle, you got to know who you are now that you're in Christ. This is why Paul spent time letting them know that you've been adopted, you've been accepted in the beloved, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Paul was encouraging them, but when he got to finally, my brethren, he was letting them know, in conclusion of everything that I told you, this is important. So I want you to take heed and I want you to listen. Some of us are out there in warfare but don't even know about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not talking about the devil all the time. Spiritual warfare ain't mapping out no city. Spiritual warfare, first of all, is knowing that the power comes from God and not from you. I don't care what city you go into. If you're going in there yourself, I'll give you an example. When those devils said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? They left naked, bruised, and running. Some of y'all are leaving naked, bruised, and running because you're trying to do it within yourself. For first of all, they didn't know Paul. They didn't know Jesus. They knew them in the natural, but we got to know people in the supernatural, who they are now that they're in Christ. Who's walking alongside of you that's just saying, Lord, Lord, but don't know him? So the problem with us, we want to tell people, I battled last night. Come on, you battled last night? Yeah, it probably was you. Because the battle has already been won. See, you shouldn't be battling all night anyway. Because when you really know who you are now that you're in Christ, oh, we're going to get there. That's why Paul said, finally, my brethren. So you got to know that all of us that are born of God from above and not of this earth is brethren. And for some reason, people act like in the body of Christ, I don't know you. I don't know you. You go about your business, I go about mine. We got so many people separate. We got so many people with jealousy, with hatred, and then they say they're doing spiritual warfare and can't even get along with their brothers and sisters in Christ, and then getting up in church and telling people, this is how you go out in war. This is how you arm for battle. Come on, something is wrong with you. If you can't even deal with your brother who you got art with, how in the world are you going to deal with somebody else? How are you going to deal with somebody outside, and you can't even deal with the people that's inside the body of Christ, but you're going outside and say, I beat up some devils? No, you didn't. So you need to know the difference, and that's the problem. People want to let people know, but you know, the only thing you got to do is keep speaking in tongues. And when you're speaking in tongues, see, people got stuff so screwed up. They're writing books, and this is what they're telling people. Well, you know, once they breathe out a certain way, the demon is loose. Now, once they throw up, you know, the demon is loose. Come on, somebody. Yes, the manifestation may be the throwing up, but I'm here to tell you, if you really don't know about spiritual warfare, you need to leave it alone. Because you're in a territory that you don't know nothing about, but I'm here to tell you, when you know him and when you know who's in you, you know that you don't walk alone, and you know that when you walk in a place, those demons supposed to flee because they got revelation that they know who they are, and they're not up in here playing games. They know that the victory has already been won, so the only thing you got to do is speak the word. Speak the word. But what are we trying to do? Coming up with all this kind of stuff, all that. Don't even know when somebody is really being delivered. People in the church, this all over the place, jumping to people. Oh, that's God. No, that's deliverance. You better know which way them body languages is going. And everybody, oh, God was in the place. Yeah, he was doing some deliverance in the place, but you didn't even recognize you was being delivered. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a problem in the body of Christ. Say, we are ignorant for lack of knowledge. Not because knowledge is not there. It's because we reject it. That's why people are ignorant, because they reject knowledge. God has given us the knowledge. But when you reject that knowledge, that's when you become ignorant, not knowing. But when you know the truth, that's when you see people being set free. So he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Our ability and our might is in him. In the Lord mean that he's our master. He's our owner. He's the one that has control. And what the Holy Spirit is showing me, like a puppet. You know how you can operate a puppet? Or what is the thing on the screen? Is that a... Yeah, you operating it, right? It has to do what you tell it to do. Now that we're in Christ, we have to let him control us, not we controlling ourselves. This is why it says that our body is his temple. That means he owns our body. It's no longer ours. It is his. Some people that get saved, they're thinking that, okay, I can still do what I do, go where I go, and still be saved. Who told you that lie? I'm going to go back to the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve, who told you you were naked? Who told you that you can party and you saved? Who told you that you can be in perversion? Who told you that you can be in all kind of acts that's not right and you serving Jesus? Who told you that lie, that it's okay for you to do the same thing you've done in the world and bring it in the church? Who told you that lie? It wasn't God. Because that's why God got rid of sin. That's why he sent his son to do away with sin. In that case, if you can still do like you were doing in the world, why did you confess Christ? For one, you didn't confess him with your whole heart. Because anybody that confessed him with your whole heart, you ain't going to want to do the things. Or if you attempted to do those things, you're crying out for help because you're saying, God, I know I don't want to do this no more, but I'm being pulled. But the Bible says that when Jesus said, it is written, and he kept saying what was written, the word of God, the Bible says that the devil left him until another opportune time. So don't think just because he didn't mess with you last week, this week ain't coming. Because the enemy is still building up strategies. somebody to get you stirred up or to let you know, I thought you knew Christ. But one thing I love about God, God fixed that too. Because the moment that you say, I do to him with your whole heart, and you know that he's your Lord, he's your master, he's the one that controls you, he gave you the Holy Spirit to help you when you feel like you can't do it by yourself, you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. I can't do this, but I know you can help me because you are my comforter. And the Bible says he walked alongside of you to comfort you. And then the thing that he did too, God said if you repent, repent means have a change of heart, have a change of mind. He said if you repent, I will forgive you. He said, I will forgive you. And the thing is, he already forgave for past, present, and future sins. But he just wants you to recognize what you were doing was not right, so that way you will turn from it and not go back to it. Now, just because he forgave you for what you're going to do in the future, that don't mean you keep on sinning. Some people take God's grace as a license to sin. God's grace is not a license to sin. God's grace is letting you know you didn't have to do nothing for salvation. Jesus done it all. The only thing you got to do is accept what he's done. But our problem is, well, you know what? God's still going to love me if I fornicate, if I commit adultery, if I lie, if I steal, if I hate my brother. He's going to still love me. You got that part right. But the problem is, if you love him the way he loved you, the way he laid down his life for you not to do what you used to do, you wouldn't do it. So when you really know the love of God, you wouldn't hate your brother. You wouldn't curse folk. You would love on folk. So this is why Paul here was talking about spiritual warfare. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That means that he's your owner. He's your master. Whatever he have you for you to do, that's what you do. Remember Mary when they needed some wine? And Mary said, whatever he says, do it. And when they done what he said, what did they get? What they needed. See, the problem is we don't want to come into obedience with Christ. That's why the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. When we obey him, sometimes we'll fast, we'll pray. What's the use of doing all that if you're not obedient to what the word is saying? When you know what the word is saying, God expects you to do what the word is saying. So when we're in the Lord, we're joined to him. We're one spirit with him. So know who you join to. Know who you connected with and get to know that connection. The more you know about him, the more you're going to be about him. The less you know about him, the more you're going to be about that place that you were in before you were in him. You are in Christ. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. So we know that our ability and our might come from him. So that's the one we're supposed to depend on. That's the one that we look to. That's why the Bible says, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Even Abraham. Now, this is what got me. Go to Romans 4:20. I went back to Abraham, and y'all know how old Abraham was. Y'all know how old Sarah was. Y'all know at a certain age, you can't produce nothing. At a certain age, you just, you know, you can't produce anything. But Abraham knew God. Amen? He knew God. He knew about God, and he didn't go on his body or Sarah's body. Because the word of God says here, and I like this, it says in verse 19, Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So Abraham wasn't looking at his situation when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. If a womb is dead, that means that womb is not going to produce anything, right? So he was looking at, he didn't consider him being 100 years old. He did not consider even the deadness of Sarah's womb. Come on, who does that? Naturally, who does that? If a husband and wife, the husband is 100, the wife is in her 90s, and then the husband say, come on, let's produce another child. That wife's going to say, you need to go to a psychiatrist. I believe you done lost your mind. You can't produce nothing. You're just like a raisin. So this is what I'm saying. This is what Abraham was saying here. Listen at this. It said, he staggered. Not, I had to wake you up. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Look at this. He didn't stagger. He didn't waver, but was strong in faith, to God. Do you know where that ability come from? It come from God. It didn't come from Abraham. Did not the Bible say Abraham considered not his body? He considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was strong in the faith. What? God gave him that might. He gave him that ability to produce. Y'all don't get it. That's why God said, I will take the impossible and make it possible if only you would believe. The problem is we're looking at script and ability in us. If God tell you he's going to open your wound and you're too old to bear, then you need to be giving God glory just like Abraham was. You can't go on what they're saying. You got to go on what the word is saying. The problem is we take the first word as the final word when it ain't God's word. And when you're taking God's word, God is going to produce the results because he said, my word shall not, will not come back to me void. It will not come back to me empty, but it's going to go out and accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing that I sent it to do. Why? I want you to know today, God said, I am not man. Man cannot produce what I can. Man cannot give you what I have given you. Do we not know that he is the creator? This is why that ignorant, I'm just going to say stupid, Balaam. He had the audacity. Come on, someone. We got some Balaams in here. We got some in here. How do I know? Because we act like we can play God. We tell God, yeah, I believe you. God, know your heart. Balaam was telling the man, telling Balak, I'm going to go back to God. Let me see what God has to say. All along, Balaam wanted what Balak had. But he was trying to play God. But you can't play God. Even the donkey, God had to use the donkey. This is just how loving God is. He knew where Balaam's heart was. So the donkey was trying to spare him because the angel had the sword and was going to kill him. And the donkey was hitting the wall, and he was beating on the donkey. And finally, God had to open the donkey's mouth and say, I've been with you this long. And I'm paraphrasing. You're going to beat me like this? He still wasn't hearing the donkey. That's some of us. That's some of us. We are so set in what we're going to do. I'm going to say stubborn. And what we're going to do, you hearing the word, but you ain't yet receiving the word because you're walking in stubbornness. And stubbornness is just like a sin of witchcraft because it comes to what? Rebellion. When you're rebellion, you become stubborn, and it's like a sin of witchcraft. So here goes Balaam. So when God let him know that he could have died if that donkey hadn't have spared him, guess what? He still wasn't finished. But yet he told Balak, God is not man, that he should lie. Neither the son of man, that he shall repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not do it? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not make it good? This man is saying what God is telling him to say, but his heart still ain't right because he still did something to turn the children of Israel away from God. That's what we do. You got people behind the pulpit. You got teachers. You got people in the fivefold. They're using the word of God for their gain. They're acting like what they're saying is coming from God or acting like God is giving them a word, but they already know what they're going to do. And we got people following them. Why are people following them? Oh, they know better. They choose not to do better. Because when the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, he's going to check you. Because he's only going to testify to what Jesus is saying. And whoever is teaching and he give you a check, that means he's testifying. He said, wait a minute, that ain't Jesus. Go search some scriptures. Go see what it says. So this is why God is saying today that everything that we have come through him. It don't come through us. And until we get over ourselves, then we're not going to see the power of God released. We're not going to see these miracles and these things that people need to know that he's God. He's the creator.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042 Burgall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.